Bishop Robert Barron will be joining us as a guest this Thursday at 10 on Real Presence Live. He will be speaking about something we don't always consider, but need to pay attention to: how local and state governments can impact our religious freedom. Tune in to Real Presence Live this Thursday at 10 to hear from Bishop Barron.
You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Heather Caro.
And I'm Doug Weingart.
And we're your hosts this morning for Real Presence Live. Thank you for joining us. We're broadcasting from the Pastoral Center here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's a beautiful day today. I hope it is around the entire listening area. I think it should be all right.
I was gonna say, it's very nice here.
It's very nice here. Excited to have our next guest in studio. Usually, Sarah, you're on the phone, but welcome today in studio.
In studio.
Thank you for joining us. So tell the listeners a little bit about who you are.
My name is Sarah Hofflander, a young mom from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but I'm here today to share about a brand new project. I'd explain my connection.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm the head of school for St. Joseph
head
Academy.
Head of school.
That's right. So kind of a similar term to like a headmaster.
Okay.
So St. Joseph Academy is a brand new hybrid classical school opening in the old school, the old St. Joseph Cathedral School building.
Yeah. I was excited to hear that it was going to be there.
Me too. Me too.
The building's been kind of somewhat empty.
Yeah.
And so to bring another school back into it is very exciting.
Absolutely. I have, just within the past couple of years, been in contact with so many people who have said, like, I've walked past this building and I've prayed, prayed for a school to open. Sometimes they'll say really specific things like, I've prayed for a classical school to open
really?
Here. And like, well, Lord, here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So how did you first get involved?
So kind of just the origin story. For me, I used to teach theology at O'Gorman. In my mind, I was kind of thinking that might be the direction that I was heading with my family. There had been a particular time where I had just kind of thrown this up, not even really as a prayer, but just kind of asking the Lord, like, Lord, how many times am I going to be, driving my kids back and forth to school through elementary school?
Mm-hmm.
And I just received very suddenly in prayer this understanding that the Lord desired a hybrid classical school at the cathedral. And at that time, I wasn't at the point of maturity to do anything about it. So I was like, good Lord. And I just moved on with my plans
nice.
In my life. Exactly. That's great for them. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, good.
Yeah.
But kind of that was on the back burner. COVID hit. And at that point, it was just that question. I think all parents were like, what in the world are we doing with education? And there had been a very specific day in the summer of 2020 where I was just kind of lost and confused. I wasn't having clarity about, what I should do for my kids for school the next year. So I drew my oldest over to the Mary statue outside of the cathedral. I'd just gone to daily mass and said, Evie, pray a Hail Mary with me that I would know what to do for school next year.
And was she in school yet?
She was a kindergartner, so
okay.
She would have been going into first grade.
Okay.
And so we prayed a Hail Mary. And then right after that, Chris Motes walked by and I was like, oh, Chris, what's your family up to today? And he said, Hannah's starting a school. I was like, that's very specific.
Okay.
So I happened to walk up to their house, and that was this really grew out of her heart. Hannah just had this yearning to have more community. She was homeschooling at the time, had this strong yearning for a classical education.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things when you're homeschooling and when you want to like do the beautiful things, because that's what classical education is all about, that you need other people. If you're going to have a discussion, if you're going to have choir, Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, even art, a lot of these things just flourish in relationship, and they're harder to do on your own. So she saw that yearning. And so, I was kind of in a state of total freedom, uncertainty at that time. I was like, oh, the Lord had told me about this a few years ago. So just jumped right in. And in its inception, Hannah did a lot of great work. She was able to find materials to start a Montessori classroom. We got some families, a Montessori teacher, and the past few years, it's been families schooling together. So we've had a few different parents who have been teaching together, so we're kind of sharing the load together, and we've been doing that in the context of a hybrid style, so 3 days together at school, and then 2 days at home, also doing nature study together. And from that, there's always been that conversation of what could this look like to be an actual school? Because if you think about, you know, parents sharing the load in on the in-school days means that mom does everything. She's doing the in-school days and the at-home days. And looking around the country, hybrid education is like flourishing. Homeschooling is on the rise. More parents want to be involved in their children's education. But a hybrid school is great because mom gets time. Yeah, some time where, you know, her kids are doing great things, but also she's not feeling like she has to do everything. You know, if you think of the church is here to accompany, and mothers are often carrying the heaviest load. So trying to accompany mothers and doing those great things and doing them well.
So when you're saying classical, for those, my daughter's 21, so I don't know what that means and what what we're doing now. Can you explain a little bit about the difference?
Absolutely. So when you think of a classical education, it's really like the education that grew up out of the church. So when you think of like from ancient times to now, defining that within the experience of what our students are doing, you could say they're journeying with the ancients, to think with the mind of the ancients, to contemplate what is true, good, and beautiful. On a practical level, that means that we're really seeking to ponder, to know. A lot of parents who seek a classical education are wanting their kids to learn how to think versus just regurgitate information. So, you know, education today can often be, we've got a lot of standards, a lot of tests, we're just memorizing all the things, take the test, and kind of it's like a dump, you know, you dump it into your head and it kind of dumps out of your head. But in a classical setting, you're really like, you know, say you're taking a text, a great work, even with the little kids, they're reading something beautiful and you invite them to ponder, to, you know, ponder what this means first, always with the wisdom of the ancients. So our kids are happening to be reading the Aeneid for children right now. My kids are in love with it. They love the Aeneid. We talk about the Aeneid a lot. It's weird, but they're 10, 8 and 10. To begin with, before they put their own thoughts of like, here's what I think should have happened or whatever, I think, what did this mean for them? What did that mean for ancient Rome that this happened? Why does their story happen to replicate the story of the Odyssey? Or, you know, you're getting into that world to see how did this unveil wisdom to them? But because we're a Catholic school, we also get to kind of ponder that from the lens of a Christian. You know, what's the contrast? We, you know, see there happened to be a scenario we were looking at recently, one of the early consuls of Rome. He had to kill or sentence his own sons to death. It was kind of a merciless scenario. He didn't forgive them. They were condemned. And the students were able to bring that up. You know, if this, they brought this up on their own. Like, if this was Christian, he probably would have forgiven his sons. You know, he probably would have given them something more. And that's really cool, you know, that you can enter into these time periods, see what wisdom looks like, and then also bring that back into who we are in relationship to Christ. And so, you know, a classical curriculum is integrated, which means that we're studying history, literature, theology, literally all subjects together, but in particular history, literature, and theology in an integrated way. So we're studying a time period, reading some sort of spine text where you're learning the history, but then our literature works are based off of those time periods. And that's the coolest way to learn
really
history.
Cool.
It is, because you think of a kid, I don't know if you are around small children, anytime they read a story, they want to tell you everything. That's just their instinct. I have my six-year-old, every night I try to tuck her into bed, and she's just telling me about this chapter book she's reading, and I'm trying to be very patient. They just love their stories. Their stories mean so much to them. So when you're learning history, rather than memorizing like a list of facts and saying like, bam, 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 this happened, done, it's like, what happened in the story? You know, this, I can't believe this, you know, whatever the situation
might
be.
And the literature of the time always reflects what's going on in the world, and so that enriches the literature.
Well,
and just thinking.
Thinking. I mean, thinking. Imagine that.
That's ultimately what we're losing, is thinking.
Right. And so as they age, when they, you know, when they're little, you know, cause this is a school we're starting all the way from the littlest ages on up. When they're little, they're first just learning how to maybe listen to a story. You're learning to narrate it, which means you're just telling back what happened. As they get a little bit older, then you get to make those little gentle application questions. They start to see connections, and kids just do. They're just naturally making connections. As you're getting older, you're starting into seminar discussion, which means that I'm learning how to discuss a text, argue a text, while having it in front of me. I'm learning to read it, with kind of an analytical mind, underlining the important points, highlighting vocabulary that's interesting to me. Within that seminar discussion, it's not the teacher telling them what they need to know. You know, it's not telling them this is what you need to memorize. It's bringing up maybe a meaningful question, and then they're going to look at the text and argue a point from the text. And my role as the teacher is not to say you're right or wrong. It's how do you see that in the text? And the other students trying to, you know, maybe they're going to bring up a different point based off of that, also arguing from the text. So it becomes less of like a me just telling you what you need to know, but enabling you to really be pondering. And my role as a teacher is to facilitate truth. So we need to, you know, use the,
right.
what is the truth that we see within this, within what we're studying? Obviously, as a Catholic, we have our own framework of truth. So if they're looking at ethical questions, we're defining virtues. You know, what does it actually mean to be virtuous? Does this fall into the line of virtue? We have our teachings of the church. So it, again, like even from a theological perspective, they can be looking at these different, you know, scenarios and maybe seeing how does this play out? And then they naturally bring that back to their own experience. How does this play out in our world right now? You know, my relationship with my family, our country, our world. So they're really learning to ponder.
Amazing.
Well, it's amazing that it's 2024. And obviously, you're doing this because I was a memorized. I can't tell you that I learned.
Right.
You know, in school.
Well, I was just going to ask her, do they have this for adults?
Right.
Right. Talk about that.
Let's teach a lot of people how to learn and think. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. It is amazing.
It is amazing. So we're talking with Sarah Hofflander, if you're just joining us. She's talking about the new St. Joseph's Academy that will be starting here in the Sioux Falls area. Just talking about what classical hybrid school looks like and kind of how they go about their curriculum. And it's just fascinating, actually. Fascinating. But I want to take a quick break, Sarah. And when we come back, I'm going to start pestering you with the nuts and bolts. Because, you know, I'm a mom and a woman, and that's what we do. Awesome. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break when we come back more with Sarah Hofflander and the new St. Joseph's Academy.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Just as spring brings many benefits, such as longer days, warmer weather, and growing crops, your support to Real Presence Radio brings great benefits to our listeners. Because of your support, someone will understand more fully a piece of the gospel they heard today and may experience the love and joy of Jesus Christ for the very first time. This is Mike Kidrowski, Director of Advancement, extending a heartfelt thank you for your support to Real Presence Radio. God bless you and your loved ones.
I remember even during that time, and this was during the beginning years of John Paul II's pontificate, and whenever I heard him on TV, because he was always in the news, especially with his travels in Eastern Europe, Poland and all, I would hear the things that would come out of his mouth, and I would go, there's no way this person is not closer to God than I am. Mm. You know, so I always had this sort of secret respect for John Paul II. Of course, I never said this to any of my brethren friends. You know,
you wouldn't dare.
No, of course not. But I don't mean to disparage them because they taught me to love the Scripture. And interestingly enough, even though they do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the sacrament, they had communion every Sunday. And so they really taught me to love the Lord's Supper and to love the Scriptures. And so I'm really thankful to them for that.
Let us run to Mary and, as her little children, cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Heather Caro.
And I'm Doug Weingart.
And we are hosts this morning, broadcasting from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Thank you for joining us. We are having a great conversation with Sarah. She is the head of the school for the new St. Joseph's Academy. It's a classical hybrid school opening here in Sioux Falls this fall. Fascinating approach to schooling. So as a woman and mother, I have technical questions.
Absolutely.
So you had talked about the integration of the parents with the school. So what does that look like? If somebody is listening and they're interested in this and they work full time, is that a possibility for their kid to go to school?
So it kind of depends on your family scenario. Okay. At this time, we are a hybrid school, which means that we are in school 8 to 3 on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And the students homeschool, so we're kind of passing the okay. curriculum home on Wednesdays and Fridays. Every family scenario is a little bit different, so you know that's up to the family to discern how that would work. We have a number of families where mom's a nurse and she happens to work 3 days a week anyways. You know, if they're working part-time, or maybe one parent happens to be home on a Friday and the other one's going to work on making Wednesday free. Some families are making that work. We have another family where a grandparent plans to kind of help with those homeschool days.
Okay.
So, you know, there does need to be that availability to do the homeschooling on the homeschool days.
Okay.
But a family can look at how that works best for their family.
And then is it set up, you know, like a traditional kindergartners are together, first grade, second, you know, do you split up all the grades? How does that work?
That's a good question. Because we're new, we're going to be doing dual grade classrooms just as we're building our class sizes. So we have Montessori for our littlest kids, and that classroom, because Montessori is more individually directed, you can have kids of a variety of age levels there. So children as young as 2.5 up to age 6 can be in the Montessori classroom. We had a number of families applying for kindergarten who happened to want a kindergarten classroom. And just with the way enrollment is panning out, we're going to start our like classical school classrooms with a K-1 classroom. So K-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Wow. Wow.
Yep. So all the way up.
All the way up.
That's right. Yep.
Okay. So now you've been actually doing this with Hannah for several years. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing? Obviously, it must be good if you're expanding and inviting the rest of Sioux Falls to join you. Mm-hmm. What have you been seeing with your own kids?
Oh, my. I don't know. My kids are so beautiful. I love them so much.
Not that you're biased.
Right? Yeah. Right? It's true. It's good. Love them so much. For, you know, for my own kids, on the one hand, there's the pairing of wisdom and innocence, I think, is just the coolest thing. That they can think on such the deep levels, you know, really having these great conversations, but their hearts are still very pure. One element of our school is really trying to be low tech. So no technology in the classroom. We're here to do real things. And we encourage that for families too. When you're at home, do real things. And so, you know, to think about, they're reading these really beautiful, awesome books. And then in their free time, they're climbing trees and chasing the cat and, you know, just play, you know,
like a breath of fresh air.
The way it used to be. Yeah.
And it's really good. You know, in kind of those surprising discoveries, we teach Latin. My kids happen to really love Latin. It's an enjoyable thing for them. It's kind of like a puzzle that you're trying to solve. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I think a lot of stuff, you know, we're always aiming to do what's most good, true, and beautiful. And so in that way, you're kind of skipping maybe some of the things that you might typically do in a school, like art projects or just kind of crafty things. But we're doing classical art studio, even super young, and it's amazing to me sometimes with what they can accomplish. So just, you know, doing the real work. So just reading good texts, being able to write. And when we're teaching writing, we're teaching them to imitate the things we're reading. So they're really writing. You know, it's not just like, hey, tell me what you did over the summer or describe your favorite birthday party. But it's like, okay, we're talking about King Solomon and these are his proverbs. Can we write something, you know, based off of that? Like ponder this and, you know, bring that into your own writing. Obviously, they're still kids, so they're writing at their level.
Yeah.
But when you give them beautiful things, they naturally reproduce it. You know? So,
Wow.
Yeah,
what you put in is what you get out.
Right. Exactly that.
Wow.
Exactly that.
That's, now it makes you think about all the kids with their iPads and what they're putting in.
Right.
Well, one of the things that I've always, what I've heard, I wasn't homeschooled, but that in homeschooling, you learn more faster than what traditional school, because there is a recess, you know, PE. So I think that's
well, and you can go at their pace. So is this considered then, like, for accreditation purposes, is this considered all homeschooling?
It is for now. So technically in the state of South Dakota, you'd call it alternative instruction. So we're asking our families to apply for alternative instruction, but that, you know, works for this school. In the long term, we want to look at how, ways to be accredited in more of a classical framework. Some of that is just a little bit challenging because we're hybrid, so there might need to find ways to kind of prove hours of school at home.
Interesting.
So it's something to explore, but we are a premium member of the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education, and I received some training through the generous donation of the Catholic Foundation for Eastern South Dakota. I was trained both in classical pedagogy and then school leadership. And so receiving from them, we're really trying to replicate, you know, a lot of those beautiful things. So we're within the context of a tradition. We're not just like, let's do this on our own. And so ICLE is kind of working all over the country, helping schools to make this transformation to really have that, like, liberal arts education.
And was it difficult to get this ball rolling when we've got such great Catholic schools in town and we have you know, their curriculum and stuff? How did that work?
That's a great question. It was kind of just an ongoing dialogue. We met with Kyle Gross a few different times just to talk about these potentials. And, you know, they have a lot of respect for homeschool families and, you know, a lot of respect here. At this time, the Catholic school system is kind of maxed out with what they're working on. So the idea of throwing in a whole new project just didn't seem to be the right course of action for them. So we did inquire as to whether or not there could be a working relationship. And so at one point I had met with Kyle Gross and Father Dickinson, and they said, you know, at this time, this isn't something that's going to work for us, but please go for it. You know, go ahead.
So
it's kind of like a, we give you the approval to do your thing. So, and that's something I think that a relationship that we'll continue to visit, whether that's with the parish or with the school system. But at this time, it's a lay apostolate, but we have just lovely relationships. Father's, you know, letting us use the building in a very reasonable way. A lot of schools that I have been in contact with around the country have a similar, like, history where it's a group of parents who want to found this hybrid classical school, and they're often trying so hard to find space and to find sacraments. That's so hard.
Oh, and you've got all of it right here.
Yeah, we're living the golden story. I mean, we've got a school building that's designed to be a school, and there's perpetual adoration, there's mass every day. You know, we're just kind of steeped in, it's so beautiful. Like, that's also an important element, like the beauty of contemplative life with the sisters, and then the beauty of the liturgy, like a daily liturgy. Another element with that, too, this I wanted to mention, the part of the Cathedrals Inspires campaign was to get a choir program going for the children. And so the cathedral is hiring somebody to do choir with our kids.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're going to be like the only children's sacred music choir. So they have choir every day, and then they're going to sing for Mass every Thursday. So you can come and hear our kids sing throughout the year next year.
Oh, how fun is that going to be?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's there. Mr. Osterman's already been working with them, and it's awesome. They do
that
so
well. That is so beautiful. So well. Yeah, and for the listeners that don't know the campus here at the cathedral, we have an old school that they shut down due to lack of students. And then we also have a monastery that's on site. And then we also have the cathedral on site. And so it's just like the trifecta.
It is.
Of everything right here.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So. And it is, you know, it's something new and unique. And so being at the cathedral, it kind of embodies that reality of being for everybody. You know, the cathedral's for everybody in the diocese. This is a school. It's not just for the people in this parish, but we have people that are going to be coming not only from the whole city, but from towns all around.
Wonderful.
What I was going to ask, so how was the reception? I'm guessing pretty good.
Yeah.
People are really...
Yeah. We'll have families making a drive. Right now, we've had 80 applicants of students, student applicants, that leads to registration. So it doesn't mean they've all registered, but quite a lot of people inquiry. So
interesting.
And we're still taking more, so feel free.
Yeah, that was my next question. So if people are interested, where can they find out more information?
Our website is stjosephclassicalacademy.org. And saint is just ST, so stjosephclassicalacademy.org. So you can apply, learn more information, request a welcome packet, donate to our school.
Beautiful.
It's all there.
Beautiful work. Anything that we haven't covered, Sarah?
Oh my.
So many things.
Yeah. There's a lot of things.
Do you have to be Catholic? Are they all Catholic?
Oh, not necessarily. So our aim is that families are sharing the mission of the school. And that means that when we're in the classroom, we are, pondering with the mind of the church. So there are some families who aren't Catholic, but when they look at what we're doing, like, this is what I want. I want my kids going to Mass with you. I want them praying and pondering and, so if their heart is so close to that mission, but they aren't necessarily formally yet in the church, we'd love to walk with them. So that's, part of that application process is meeting with families and discussing and seeing, like, what their mission is, too. We're not going to serve them well if they really want to be somewhere else.
Well, and I find it interesting because I wonder if, the elementary schools are going to kind of look at this and be like, maybe we need to take some of what they're doing.
Right.
There's definitely room for full time. We're a hybrid school. So,
very interesting. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
For having
it's
me
been
on.
A pleasure having you. And for those that want more information, that's stjosephclassicalacademy.org. And you can check it out there. Great things happening. We'll keep you in our prayers.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, coming up next on Real Presence Live, a lot has been happening in the Minnesota legislature this year. I always struggle with that word. It's big. Jason Atkins of the Minnesota Catholic Conference will be giving us the latest on the bills affecting Catholics in our next weekly update. So, Doug, any last thoughts about Classic? You're Classic.
I am Classic. I'm old enough to be Classic.
You're Classic.
But yes, fascinating. I mean, I think it's incredibly inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. So lots more coming up. We've got Jason Atkins coming up, and then we will be talking with Father Andrew Dickinson. So I'm excited to talk to the Vicar General. Very fancy day. So stay with us. More Real Presence Live right after this.